Welcome to the Hardwood Hustle powered by PGC Basketball. We believe in the value of a coach. We're here to educate, empower, and encourage you to lead like never before. On the other side of a breakdown is a breakthrough. And this week, PGC President Mono Watsa joins the show to share how having courageous conversations can transform your program by building more trust and ensuring more growth. Let's get started.
Welcome to the Hardwood Hustle. Sam and I have one of our all-time favorite guests on today, Mono Watsa. He's the owner and president of PGC Basketball. He's a basketball thought leader. He is a leadership guru, and he offers so much to our coaches. And today, I think you're really going to enjoy this conversation. It's really a practical conversation and one that's going to help you in your coaching career. You know, it's maybe not the sexiest topic, but it is a topic that we deal with on a regular basis, almost daily. And it's a sticking point for so many coaches, why they can't move forward, why they can't go to the next level. We refer to this as courageous conversations. It can also be framed as difficult conversations. We're in a business where we're dealing with people, and we are always having to have tough conversations. And this is not easy for a lot of people. But I do know this, the best coaches get comfortable with this. They really step into the idea of like, I'm going to have these to get my team to the next level, to get a player to the next level. So Mono, welcome to the show.
Hey, TJ, Sam, always a pleasure to be on with you guys. And the impact that you have with the Hardwood Hustle is incredible. So pleasure to be on today.
Yeah. So Mono, just open us up. Give us some background. Just give us the why a little bit. Like, why is this important to coaches?
Yeah. Well, first of all, every high-performing team in any realm, sports, business, it doesn't matter what it is, every high-performing team has high trust. And the best way to build high trust is through a high level of transparency. And if you're going to have a high level of transparency, you have to be willing to surface the hard things, the difficult things, and the things that often we want to shy away from. And so that's why it's so important.
Well, Mono, go to the other end of it. Where have you seen this be a problem for coaches? You know, I've got a long list of where I've seen this, you know, where coaches have hurt themselves, hurt their leadership, or hurt their team because this is a difficult place for them to go.
Yeah. You know, if we shy away from the difficult conversations, and within a team setting, it can be a difficult conversation with a member of your coaching staff. It could be a difficult conversation with one of your players who's not performing or not living up to team standards or the expectations that you have, or it could even be a difficult conversation with your AD. But not being willing to have the conversation just erodes trust in the relationship, and it causes the issues to persist. And issues don't disappear, as you know, TJ and Sam. They don't just go away. They tend to grow over time. And so if you don't deal with them, you're setting yourself up for a bigger issue down the road.
It's so good, Mono. And I think maybe even speak a little bit. There's a lot of different directions we can go with this, but one thing I've learned from you is this, that when you do have a breakdown or you have a problem, that you also have a great opportunity for a big breakthrough. And that's a mindset shift I'm not sure many people in general, whether coaches, leaders, have, that usually we look at a problem as a problem. And what I've learned from you is, no, look at a problem as an opportunity. And that's a mindset shift that I think really good leaders are able to get into. Maybe you could speak into that.
Yeah, it's definitely a mindset shift. We used to call them breakthrough or breakdown conversations within PGC, but then we realized over time that every breakdown, no matter what it is, whether it's a regret, a resentment, an unfulfilled expectation, regardless of what it is, that every breakdown has the opportunity for an equal, or what I've come to experience, an equal or even greater breakthrough. So we shifted the name of breakdown conversations to breakthrough conversations because they so often led to even better things, increased trust, growth in the relationship, an ability to be real with each other. And that ultimately translated into better results. So I think for any coach who's looking to maximize their potential and their team's potential, you have to be willing to have these breakthrough conversations. And as you said, Sam, it's a mindset shift, a willingness to see every difficult situation as an opportunity. And there is an opportunity if you're willing to seize it, if you're willing to be courageous enough to seize the opportunity to get uncomfortable, to speak the unspeakable for the benefit of the relationship and for the benefit of the team.
Yeah, you know, all championship teams face adversity. I can think of so many times with my team where the turning point was actually the worst moment of our season, where it was just we had to have this hard conversation. We had to, whether it was an individual or whether it was a team. One of the things I think about a lot for coaches is they carry so much on their shoulders, like just the responsibility, the weight. And oftentimes they just go through the day and there's this problem they have with their AD, or there's this problem they have with another coach on their staff, or there's this player that's just rubbing them the wrong way. And a lot of people just defer to living in that space of knowing they have this grudge or they have some resentment or anger towards one of these people. And it really just bogs down their day. And I think it bogs down their leadership too. So I want to get your thoughts on that. Like, you know, what is it like to relieve that from your shoulders? And why is that so important for you to become a better leader?
Yeah, well, every difficult conversation I've ever had, TJ, there's a sense of relief when you have it. It's almost like forgiveness. You know, when you don't forgive someone, we tend to think that we don't want to let somebody else off, but it really frees us when we forgive somebody. The same way with a difficult conversation, we hang on to these. And so often we don't have the conversation, but then it burdens us. You know what it's like. It's on our thoughts. It's on our minds. We're waking up in the middle of the night thinking about this issue. And the longer we postpone having it, the more it creates stress for us, the more it tends to just run in the background and we leak. And we leak in the form of frustration or anger. Or, it can show up in all sorts of distorted ways that cause us to not be at our best with others, not just that person. It can infect or invade any of our other communications or relationships. So when you have the conversation, you know, with one of your players or a member of your coaching staff, or even your spouse or family member, when you have the difficult conversation, it's just really freeing.
Well, on that point for a minute, TJ brings up a good question. And sometimes, Manu, you need to have it right away. Sometimes we need to sleep on it at night. Sometimes it might be a week. And that discernment's kind of, it's tough. It's always hard to know. The timing does matter. If you wait too long, then it doesn't matter. Then it's too long, right? So how do you think through things like that? What the timing of the breakthrough or the difficult conversation?
Yeah, I like to think of it, Sam, as timing, tone, and target. So what's the most suitable timing? You know, as a coach, sometimes we're not very sensitive. And before I come back to tone and target, no, I think as human beings, we probably err one side or the other. We're probably more like a rhino or more like a hedgehog. A rhino is just going to hit it head on. And a rhino mentality is, oh, I'm going to have the conversation. I'm going to let this player know. And it's not even a breakthrough conversation. It's just purely a tell and a lecture. And so some of us as coaches err on the side of being a rhino, and we're just going to bring it. It's not a conversation. It's a tell. It's my way or the highway. And I'm going to let you know how you screwed up. And the other side of the equation is a hedgehog. A hedgehog kind of goes into a shell and going to avoid the conversation as much as possible. And so I think to be thoughtful as a coach is to think of what's the ideal timing to have this conversation that gives the greatest opportunity for my player, my teammate, my AD, whoever it is, to be able to receive it. And sometimes it's as simple as just asking, you know, when we can have this conversation, and or just at least prepping a player and saying, hey, I'd like to connect with you, you know, tomorrow morning, or I'd like to connect with you before practice, so that they know there's some level of anticipation and doesn't just feel like a bomb that's been dropped on them. So that's the timing piece. And then there's the tone, ensuring you're not just conveying it. You're not just spewing out wrath and anger and judgment in order to make your player feel terrible or feel less about themselves, but that you're doing it not to hurt, but to help. And so sometimes, Sam, I just have to check my own spirit and say, what's my attitude in this? Am I looking to just make one of my players feel badly? Am I doing it to make a staff member feel worse about themselves? And if so, I've got to just kind of check my heart and pause and say, I'm not ready for the conversation myself. So it's not just about the timing for when they can receive it, but it's also timing for when I can approach it from a place of service, a place of humility, a place of care. And so tone is the second piece. And then finally, the target. And so often I have to catch myself because I'm not having the conversation directly with the person. I'm not going to the source, but I'm talking about that person to somebody else. And as coaches, it's so easy to just grumble with another coach about one of our players and what they're not doing, as opposed to instead of having that third party conversation. Sure, it's helpful to talk with your coaching staff about what's going on, but for the benefit of finding the best way to approach it, not just to complain about that player or about somebody else on the staff.
Gosh, I think I'm a rhino, but I don't know if I was a born rhino. I don't think so. I think at PGC, this has really helped me, Mono, to be able to have these conversations. Honestly, to actually be excited about these conversations. I mean, I think about a previous mindset where it's like, you know, maybe I didn't want to have these, or I was the rhino. I've probably been in both situations, but I've moved to a place of like excited to have these because I know what's on the other side of them. And I know how it's affected me. Not, I mean, whether it's coaching or marriage or whatever it might be. I'm curious for you, do you think, why do you think that many people shy away from these? Why do you think that they actually don't? Because I know there's a lot of coaches, and I've said this a lot of times, a lot of coaches, we go, we sit, we talk about the players we don't like, the players we didn't get along with, we like our AD and how they don't do this. But oftentimes we don't have those conversations face to face. Why do you think people avoid those conversations?
Yeah, I think it's simple. Fear. And the fear either comes out of how those conversations have gone in the past, and not even necessarily with a player or with a fellow coach, but how it's gone within our own families. And so when we've seen conflict go poorly, it erodes our confidence that a future conflict is going to go well, or dealing with a conflict. So I think it's fear at the end of the day. And the fear can come in one of two ways: the fear of how the other person is going to respond, or the fear of whether we're going to say the right thing.
Yeah. Mono, do you think I'm actually moved to this place? And I don't know if a lot of people get to this place. I'm actually fearful of not having it because I really dread living in the place of not knowing. You know, I dread walking around with people I can't trust, whether it's a boss or whether it's a fellow coaches or whether it's players. So you could be in a couple different places. You could be in a place of like just fear because all of these conversations haven't gone well or haven't worked out well in the past. You could also be in a place of like fear of not having them because you're walking on eggshells. Can I trust the people around me, right? Are there any other places you could be? I'm just trying to hit all the coaches. Like, how could they be feeling besides fearful of having them?
Yeah, I think that's right. And I think it's a much greater fear because when we don't have the conversations, you know, trust erodes over time. Frustrations just continue to build until finally the walls go up. And then we tend to have these, you know, massive relational breakdowns. So I think that is a healthy fear to hold, to drive the one towards having the conversation.
Yeah, I got one to add there, Sam, and then throw it over to you. It's interesting because I think many times I've seen coaches with their teams or coaches at their jobs, and from a long distance out, you can see it's over. Like, it's just not going well at this school. It's not going well with this team. The team and coaches don't like each other. They're not getting along, whatever it might be. yet people will still live in that space rather than try and change it. They'll just kind of ride it out for another miserable year, 2 years or 3 years. And why would they be okay with that? Is it just the fear of having those conversations when maybe even they know it in their heart that it's not going well, that it might be over and it's going down a bad path, but people will still step into and live in that area right there? Is that because of fear?
I think because of fear, and because we tend to prefer the devil that we know rather than the devil we don't know. And so so part of that is the fear of, well, what's going to happen as a result of having this conversation? Am I going to get fired? Is this going to be the end of the relationship? Is my player going to quit? Is my player going to turn off and the situation's going to get worse? So I think we tend to stick with the devil that we know.
Well, I think I would add one more point here to this piece of the conversation, fear, Manu. And actually, before getting on this call, some notes I wrote down was to have courage, you have to have fear. So the very fact of a courageous conversation, fear has to exist. It's the ability to do something that frightens one. And I think as a coach, as a leader, we have to embrace that. Like, our players are fearful of making mistakes in a big game. They're nervous. Like, and so that's just a part of life. And the quicker we can accept that, that allows us to step into the courageous conversation. Anything on that before I ask you the next thing?
Yeah, a couple of things come to mind. Actually, a scripture verse that I was reading this morning in my scripture reading was, perfect love drives out fear. And so this is what comes to mind for me. My definition of love is a commitment to somebody else's best interest. And so if love is a commitment to somebody else's best interest, and I truly love and care about my players, then I'm going to be willing to have the conversation because I love them, because I'm committed to their best interest. And so I'm going to share the things that they need to hear for their own benefit and growth, or for our relationship to be whole. And so it's really a commitment to love. And I found that when I can take off, let go of my fear and hold on to love, hold on and remind myself of I'm committed to them and I'm committed to this relationship. And because I'm committed to them and because I'm committed to this relationship, I'm going to stretch myself, even though my skills in having this conversation might not be where I'd like them to be at. So I'm not as comfortable. I'm going to get uncomfortable and grow through this. And then I'm going to operate and source things from a place of trust. And I think it takes trust to say, I'm going to trust that they can receive it. I'm going to trust that I can frame things up the way they need to be framed up. And I'm going to trust that ultimately good will prevail from this. And so I think trust and love can dispel fear.
Yeah, that's so good. You know, some other words that come to my mind when you're, you know, that I've learned through PGC is this being vulnerable in a courageous conversation, and then to steal some of your terminology, like generous listening. So oftentimes as coaches, like you said, you want to go into the conversation, particularly with players. Coaches aren't as direct sometimes with their peers, their staff members on staff, which I think that's another piece we might need to unpack. But it's like, be generous first in listening. We go in so many times and we have these preconceived notions and expectations of what the other person is thinking or feeling. And reality is we're way off base. And all we need to do is go in, ask a couple questions, and all of a sudden we're enlightened to another perspective we never even knew about. So it's like, be generous in listening, be vulnerable in a conversation of like, hey, I don't know the right answers here. Here's what I do want to tell you, Manu, that we've been having some arguments lately, but I care a lot about you and I want to get it right. I don't know how we're going to get there, but I want to get it right. Like, that's vulnerable. Like, I don't have the answers, but I do want to get this right. And I think so, vulnerability and generous listening, you want to speak on that?
Yeah. The vulnerability piece, I think is especially difficult for our guys listening. We don't want to share how we feel. And so if we're angry or frustrated or disappointed or whatever it might be, a lot of times we'll just hang on to that rather than being vulnerable and sharing that, you know, something did hurt us, upset us, disappoint us, you know, whatever it might be. Especially with other adults, it's probably easier to share with one of our players that we feel like they let us down, but to share that with, you know, a fellow coach, or even outside of a coaching context, you know, in any one of our relationships, that can be difficult. So part of this is a willingness to be vulnerable. And then your second piece, the word that came up for me is humility, to not assume that you know you have the truth cornered on what happened. And that, you know, I found time and time again that when I've heard the perception of someone else, it's changed my perception. And so a humility to not think that I know exactly what happened and you're wrong and I'm right and you fell short of my expectation. And so even with my players at times, when somebody hasn't upheld a team standard, I've sought to understand before attempting to be understood. And so I've asked the question, hey, just want to know what happened from your perspective on this. And so part of that humility, I think humility leads to curiosity. And that helps people to let down their guard rather than getting defensive. Because if you go to your player or go to one of your fellow coaches and you're going accusatory, that is rarely going to end well. And it's rarely going to help the other person to see your perspective. So vulnerability, humility, and curiosity, can all of those things combine to help position a breakthrough conversation to truly end with a breakthrough, which leads to increased trust and increased commitments.
Mono, I'm going to put you on the spot here for a second. Let's just go through some scenarios. All right. Let's just say that you're a coach and you know, your AD maybe not talking to you much or gave you some harsh comments or whatever it might be. And you're unsure of where you stand. You're unsure if they have their support, what they're thinking about the job you're doing. It's causing you some angst, maybe even a couple sleepless nights. You're worried. What do you do in that scenario?
Yeah, well, first of all, let's talk about what may happen if you do nothing. I think it could be helpful to just always assess, if I do nothing, what's the worst possible thing that can happen? And in a case where an AD, you might be sensing that your AD is feeling some certain ways about what's going on. Well, if you don't have the conversation, who knows, you might end up getting fired because of something that they have believed about you or some conclusions they've come to. And wouldn't you rather know that earlier while you still have your job, while there's still time to course correct and make some changes? And so from that perspective, I would go into it and ask to, you know, set up a time. So going back to timing, ask to set up a time to meet with your AD and then go in with the tone of not an accusation, but once again, seeking to understand from a place of humility and curiosity and say, and we always talk about identifying facts. So if something had been said to you, you know, you mentioned to me that you were really frustrated and love to talk about it so that I can learn and grow. And so if you source things from a place of how can I get better, you know, that's going to be far easier than if you go in an accusatory fashion to meet with your AD.
Yeah. And it's very disarming the way you approach it. Right. And I think that's an important thing, whether it's with player, coaches or AD, is that you can come in like the rhino and it usually doesn't go well. Right. And you can also come in and or avoid it. Like you just talked about the possible outcomes of not doing anything. But I think the skill or the ability to go in there and disarm people to be able to have a good conversation because you're coming from a place of learning, growth, always helps the conversation to go better, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think a critical element to helping a conversation go well is to identify in advance in any breakdown, even when I've coached our players and we've had an issue where a standard hasn't been upheld, the first thing that I attempt to do is I ask myself, what do I own in this? It's an ultra ownership perspective. And when I take that perspective, I can usually come up with at least one, if not two or three things that I own. So if I was going in to meet with my AD because of some issues that I'd identified. One of the first things that I'd like to, that I would do in this conversation is identify what I know I own. And in doing so, once again, that's really disarming as well. And so that would be my recommendation to A, have the conversation, source it from a place of humility and curiosity. And then secondly, as early on as possible, before you share any perceptions that you have, share what you own. Look, I know I haven't spoken to you about this over the past month, and I know I've fallen short in these areas. You know, what can you own before you attempt to understand? And don't share what you think about your, what your perceptions are until you first sought to understand the other person's perspective.
Mono, I want to touch on one thing that I think it's important for coaches to hear. You know, hundreds of coaches have gone through your preseason retreat and you keep referencing standards. And so I think one of the things that probably makes these conversations go better is actually laying the groundwork. And we don't have to go all the way here, but one of the things you do in the preseason retreat where our PGC coaching members go through, and how do we actually set standards for a team to know, like, and then when you go back to have that conversation, you have a base for what was acceptable, not acceptable. And you have a point into what you guys agreed on, not just what you even said as a coach, but what you as a team agreed on would be the standards. And I would encourage coaches to go check that out sometime. But wouldn't you say that having these courageous conversations are easier to have when you've actually set some standards beforehand, particularly in the player situation?
It's much easier. And it's actually one of the reasons we tend to avoid having the conversation, because we know we own a part of it. You know, maybe we weren't clear enough. We hadn't talked about it before. And I think that's one of the first things to own in a conversation. There have been times with some of our PGC staff members where I thought, gosh, I just wasn't clear enough. And instead of holding back from having the conversation because I realized I wasn't clear enough or I hadn't set that expectation in the first place, I just own it right out of the gate. Look, I know I probably wasn't clear enough on this, or we hadn't discussed this before. I hadn't set this as an expectation. And so I own that. And so that's not a gap on your part, and then we have the conversation. But it's always easier if you get clear on expectations with your team, with your coaching staff, whoever it may be, even with your AD at the beginning of the season, to get clear on what they expect of you. So when you identify the standards in advance, it gives you a reference point to be able to go back to.
Mono, do you believe that oftentimes or sometimes in breakthrough conversations that people will dance around the main thing instead of just coming out of the gate and saying it and then maybe explain later, but it's an over explanation before they even get to the main thing? Specifically, I'm thinking more like coach to coach, peer to peer relationships. Usually coach is a little bit better in a coach player deliverable, where they're just more direct. But do you see that happen in those situations where people over explain and they don't come out and say it? And maybe you could speak to that.
Yeah, absolutely. So this is part of the skill of being able to have the conversation. So being able to land the plane, you know, when we're hesitant and we're, you know, not feeling confident as to what to say, you know, we can dance around the issue. So one of the things that I've just made a habit of doing is I write down and just get clarity around my thoughts prior to the conversation, so that I've identified what do I own and I've identified what's the root of this issue, so that we can get to the root right away. And I've thought through how I'm going to frame it in a way that they can best receive it. And now, I wish I could say I do this all the time, because sometimes I show up as a rhino. And, you know, those that we know best, we tend to show up as our most true self. So with my wife, sometimes with Kate, I'll just suddenly, you know, blurt something out or say it and thought, oh gosh, I should have just pulled back, and not the best timing, probably not the best tone. And I should have done a little more reflection and preparation. And that's maturity, to be able to emotionally self-regulate and say, this isn't the best timing. And as coaches, so often we just explode on our players and get frustrated with them because we haven't self-regulated our own emotions. And so I think this is just lifelong growth for us as coaches and human beings.
Yeah, Mono, I hate to open a new can of worms at this portion of the show, but what about parents? I mean, this is a whole other one. I think about our summer sessions where we start off with our parent meeting and really set the standard with parents to what to expect for this week. And I think coaches, they go back and forth on this. You know, do I just not talk to parents? Do I give them a list of rules? Like, and that's a really hard conversation to have. But we also know this is one of the most prevalent ones that's probably needed to have, or one of the things that probably keeps coaches up at night or makes their job really hard. Got any thoughts on approach to this with parents?
Yeah. So I learned the hard way, TJ, live in a small hockey community where basketball's not that significant. So I didn't actually think that I needed to have or really set expectations and get some agreed upon standards with my parents before the varsity season. And I was coaching my sons, and lo and behold, it's the fourth quarter of a game. I didn't realize this until after the game, but the 12th man on our team, who I had had the conversation prior to the season. In fact, at the end of tryouts, I said, look, and I just level set with him that that I had a spot on the team for him, but he was not likely to play. And that there was a significant gap in terms of skill levels and ability between him and the guys in the playing unit. And I said to him, I want you to go home and think about it over the weekend and let me know on Monday if you'd like to be a part of the team. We have a spot, but I could envision this being a frustrating experience because you're not going to see a lot of rewards for your efforts. And I want you to think about, do you want to make this commitment and be a part of this team? And are there going to be rewards for you other ways, you know, socially, feeling up, getting better and improving? So because the rewards are not likely going to play out from a playing time perspective and unless something significantly changes. Well, he said, no, I don't need to think about it, coach. I want to be a part of this team. I said, okay, let me share with you what the expectation is going to be. My expectation, if you take this spot, is that you're going to show up every day with a great attitude. You're going to work your tail off. You're going to make the players in the playing unit better every single day. And it's easy to do now when we're in the honeymoon stage in the next 3 or 4 weeks. But by the time we get to the 10th game of the season and not getting playing time, it's going to be really hard. So what I want to know is, are you committed to showing up with a great attitude and great approach every single day through this season and outworking other guys to make everyone else better while getting better yourself? He said, yes, we were on our way and things were going well. And then midway through the season, after a game, I get into my car and I glance at my phone and there's an email from this parent, just this scathing email from this kid's father, who happened to be a member of the coaching staff for another sport at the school. And it was a scathing email that he had sent at the beginning of the fourth quarter because his son hadn't been put in the game and there had been several games in which his son hadn't played. And what I realized was I had set the expectation with the player, but obviously he hadn't communicated that to his parents. And there was a significant gap. I hadn't thought to set expectations at the beginning of the season with parents as to how to communicate with me. And I get into my car following this game and get this scathing email just accusing me of not being committed to developing players and, you know, all of these different facets. So TJ, I learned the hard way that it's always best to attempt to align with parents and set expectations, including how to communicate with me as a coach. And so I learned from that, and I put together a parent meeting that now I do at the beginning of every season to align on expectations.
Yeah, you know, all this stuff we're talking about, Mono, is, you know, so many coaches spend a lot of time, you know, you want to get better at your X's and O's, but so many problems come down to communication. I mean, not just in coaching, but if you think about marriages or any, 99% of wars were started with bad communication. Marriages fail. So, like, communication matters so much. And so I think just reminding coaches that are listening, like, we got to get this right. We got to constantly be improving these skills. And so how do you, going back to this parent for a minute, or these parent situations, you can have protocols, systems, rules. I've also learned you can't procedure your way through human dynamics. And so standards are important. Preseason meetings are important, but then human dynamics come into play that we can't always, we can't pull out our procedure and our handbook and say, refer to page 3, rule number 27. Like, you're going to have to talk about it. So where do we find that balance?
Yeah, the first thing that comes to mind for me, Sam, is if we think that because we've set really good standards and because we've communicated clearly that we're not going to have issues with our team, we're setting ourselves up for failure because of the human component to things. It's just, you know, human nature. You know, we don't live up to our own expectations all the time. So especially when we're dealing with adolescents who are growing and maturing and their brains are still developing, they're not going to uphold all of the good expectations and standards we've created. And neither will everyone else, and certainly not all parents. So doing the hard work of setting standards in advance is worthwhile and beneficial. But as you said, you know, there's not a procedure that you can just follow. And if I do this, then this. And so I think the most important thing is to be able to anticipate that problems and issues are going to happen. And going on back to the mindset piece, to take the perspective that every single breakdown is an opportunity. Because what's our natural tendency? When a player screws up, when a parent complains, when you get an email like that from an angry parent, to just go, and what? How do we first respond? What an idiot. And just a sense of frustration, maybe anger. And so to pull back and just remind ourselves, and a perspective I attempt to take on with every person I interact with, they're doing the best they can with what they know. And that generous perspective then helps to change my perspective so that I'm more likely to be able to generously listen. And that means listening to understand. And I'm more likely to speak generously, which means I'm going to speak from a place of humility, not from a place of judgment. And so when I take the perspective that they're doing the best they can with what they know, and when people know better, they do better. And I know sometimes I haven't known better, so I haven't done better. But as I know better, I do better. And when I take on that perspective, Sam, then it just helps me to be able to go into a conversation and not sourcing it from a place of frustration and a place of anger. And what's happened over time as I've had more and more practice at this and really worked on it. And, you know, it's a journey for all of us to grow. But the I think what's happened is I've been able to move from the, and instead of that being, you know, sitting with me and just irking me and irritating me for days on end or weeks on end, I've been able to collapse it down to where it's just maybe a few minutes, or sometimes it's just a few seconds, and I can go, all right, two clap. What's next? How do I make this better? How is this going to work for our good? And so, you know, I think as coaches, we have so many opportunities throughout a season, probably hundreds of opportunities to grow in this area. And then to be able to take, you know, a positive perspective towards these breakdowns and turn them into breakthroughs.
Mono, I got a couple final thoughts that I want to share, just some sum up some learnings here. Then I want to get your final thoughts on this as well. But, you know, seeing people as they're doing the best with what they know, you gave me that advice a long time ago. And I don't know that there's another piece of advice that has served me better. It just changed my lens and my perspective. And it was for coaches out there, don't forget that one, because I cannot tell you how much that's helped me in my life. And just meeting people where they're at is a big thing. And being able to listen to where they're at and figure out where they really are and what they're really dealing with, it just allows you to help people and to help yourself as well. And so the second thing that I think about a lot is those standards. When we talk about those standards, I know they don't solve everything, but I've had similar situations numerous times with players where I you know, had that conversation in the preseason with them, and 10 games in, it changed, right? but it always made those conversations better and easier on down the road. Do you remember what we committed to? Or we set standards as a team. Do you remember what we committed to? And so we're not starting from zero. It's not he said, she said, we thought this. Now, we all knew where we were going and we just veered off track. So I think setting the standard, you know, is so big. And another point that you made there, the courageous conversations, what's the alternative of not having it? Like the having it versus not having it has always been better for me to have it. I hate living in that place where I can't trust you. I don't know. I can't make it better because I just don't have all the information because I won't have those conversations. So I think all three of those things have been really big for me and my coaching career. And you've had a huge influence on all of those. Want to get your final thoughts on this. What else do coaches need to know? What do they need to be thinking about to make sure that they are comfortable and capable of having these so that they have better relationships and they have a better career?
Well, what comes to mind for me is that it's worth it. It's worth it. It's worth it for the sake of the relationship, but not just that relationship, because when, even if you don't think it's worth it, you're developing the skill set and you're building your own courage muscle to be able to have those difficult conversations in future with future breakdowns. And I think every opportunity that you have to stretch yourself is a good opportunity to help you grow. So I would say it's worth it from my experience, not just coaching, but in all realms, as a parent, as a spouse, in family dynamics with siblings and my own parents. A willingness to have the difficult conversations leads to greater trust. And it doesn't always guarantee success, but I can tell you that not having the conversation is nearly a guaranteed recipe for failure.
Coaches, glad that you got a taste of one of Sam and I's mentors who helps us to grow on a regular basis. And we love growing with coaches. Appreciate you listening to the Hardwood Hustle. We'd love to see you at a summer session, pgcbasketball.com, where you can engage in some of this growth yourself, or check us out at PGC Coaching. We're on the regular. We're trying to grow together. It is a community of coaches that want to be transformational and make a really big difference. Hey, Mono, can't thank you enough for joining us today. Really appreciate you being on.
Hey, loved this conversation, TJ and Sam. And coaches, just encourage you, be willing to have the conversation, stretch yourself. You'll be better for it. Your relationships will be better for it as well.
Well, thanks again, Mono. He is Sam. I am TJ. We are the Hardwood Hustle.
Thanks again for tuning into this episode of the Hardwood Hustle, where we believe in the value of a coach. We also want to make sure you know about our coaching resources and freebies available to you at pgchustle.com. We have a workshop, a Read and React masterclass, and effective practice planning tips to help you enhance your coaching. Get started at pgchustle.com. From the Hardwood Hustle team, thanks again. We can't wait to be with you again next week.